Norman Owen, Chapter 4, The Laws of Reality. Everything becomes clearer. When a person thinks he has discovered something that shakes the very foundations of his belief systems, it takes a while to sink in, and this proved to be about a 2-year period. I kept going back over things and kept saying to myself, there is two ways of thinking. Either we imagine everything as in a dream, or things really are real. It became evident that things were real and composed of matter, then we were a product of that matter by its own volition, and all that is real was simply evolution of rocks. The more I thought of it, the more it became ridiculous to even contemplate that as our origin. How could things look so planned from an artistic and human point of view? There seemed to be such deliberate design in the world around us. I began to realize that we were actually part of some sort of globe or orb of reality, with our backs being blended with it, and the backs of our heads were actually non-existent. I began to realize that I could conduct experiments to see if these views of reality was true. I reasoned that if we create our own existence, then my luck would change, and quite drastically. And things like little bumps and scrapes that I usually attributed to happenstance could be reduced, if not stopped altogether. I reasoned that there must be some laws that control this imaginary world. Things that have never been written before, or at least laws I had never seen. Immediately, my new outlook changed, my luck incredibly. It explained how a positive outlook can make everything much easier. The bumps and scrapes still persist to this day, but have been lessened considerably, and I can go days without hurting myself at all. Although, I think we have some need to remind ourselves from time to time that this world seems very real. People who practice Falun Gong of Buddhism never get sick, or very seldom get sick, and can heal themselves simply because they understand they do not exist in a material sense, and so only their minds can be ill. I began scribbling notes on bits of paper, and as I have always done, only this time they had some direction, and kept getting clearer and clearer. I was seeking the laws of reality, and my scribblings kept going in the same direction and making considerable sense for the first time in my life. A TOE, T-O-E, theory of everything, would have to make perfect sense and be perfectly complete. It would have to answer not only where we came from, but where we were going and how everything came to be. It couldn't be incomplete, and in fact, would not even be a TOE, but rather an EOE, explanation of everything. Our school system used to teach the theology of creation, and still there are religious undertones within the system. Teachers will routinely say things like, thank God for this, or God only knows, and yet the system itself continues to teach the godless theory of evolution from the Big Bang to now. Both evolution theory and theology cannot be taught together because they just don't make sense, and evolution is not really even a theory because it requires conditions that predate Big Bang and a space for these conditions to take place. Science keeps modifying its favorite theory, and the worldwide acceptance of the scientific community means they had to address the problem of the material and the place. Now, it's called the Big Bang Bounce Theory, or Reciprocating Universe, which tries to erase the problems by extending the time factor to infinity, but it still doesn't address the problem of how matter or mass was created out of nothing, or how the space for this bouncing matter came to be. Actually, there is no space, nor any material, just the thought of a universe and the appreciation of matter. There still remains the problem of what thought is, and this will likely never be addressed because without matter or energy, there is no way of understanding it. The first law or scribbling that I refined was the law of the entity. All beings, creatures, and things are part of a single entity. And this refers to basically everything. All of reality is only one thing, and I have referred to this as the entity. The individuality that we apparently enjoy is an illusion, and we do this to give ourselves some companionship. We do not violate this individuality by knowing what others think, because we must operate on a lower scale of mentality that we have the capacity to do for the sake of convincing ourselves that life is real. I hope you're in total shock by these statements, because I couldn't accept them myself for months as each statement came to light, and I still have not even scratched the surface of this revelation. These laws have no real order. They could be said in a variety of ways and have undergone several revisions until I finally decided on a set version and cast them in fired clay to imitate what I thought laws of this nature would be cast in stone. Laws come in tens or twelves, so I settled on 12, which seemed to cover many of the issues that they overturned in our society. Beyond the basic 12 laws, there are many more that are mainly just colloquial expressions worded carefully to cause the learning of an ideal or goal, but all are based on the absolute we exist and cannot be refuted or even questioned intelligently. Semantics, however, does allow anything to be questioned, so you can decide for yourself. The law that became the eighth one written on the tablets was one that addressed the problem of non-existence. Existence must have a balance with non-existence. We do exist, but we cannot be created of matter, because how do you get matter from nothing? Actually, how do you get thought from nothing is where that leads, and I really don't have an answer to that. Thought is, however, not made of anything we can identify, so it's non-existent, but this law is a direct attack on all the theories that presently exist, in which either a God is suddenly there, with no creator of his own, or matter is suddenly there, with no explanation. The following are the laws as they appeared on the tablets and the website. The explanation follows. Now, what I'm going to do is just read the explanations here rather than the laws. Now, I'll read the laws first. This is the sixth draft of the laws. And on tablet one, there are six of them. In tablet two, there are six more. All beings, creatures, and things are part of a single entity. All of reality, including time, is utterly elastic. All of reality is collectively generated by all beings and the living mass of nature. Reality is a globe we are within, not upon. Everything and every creature has the innate ability to react with the universal. Time is a concept and can have no beginning nor end. Tablet 2. The universe is composed of solid, liquid, and gaseous objects that have no intrinsic constituent of matter. Existence must have a balance with non-existence. Everything and every creature must exist and not exist simultaneously. Any event or combination of events must be possible without the need of matter of any kind. The mind appreciates the earth and is the earth. The cosmos are created of apparency. Okay, now here's the explanations of them. And these are slightly longer than there are on the website. Although this book is available on the website, and it's free. All of reality, including time, is utterly elastic, became the second law written on the tablets. This refers to the fact that nothing has ever been invented and never will be. All that you see, feel, hear, or experience is happening right now and has never existed before or will ever again. put it into practical sense, if you go to look at your junk drawer and you can't find what you're looking for, don't despair. Close the drawer and look elsewhere. Keep returning to the drawer and you will eventually find it if you really think it should be there. That sounds nuts, but it really works. On my practical art projects, I no longer look for something that will make do. Now, I look for the perfect answer, and it's always there. Every time you awaken, you're in a world of objects that have never been there before. You may think you recognize a tree or a favorite object, but it constantly changes minute by minute and second by second. I actually wrote this without really understanding it. It took me 3 years to grasp it. Time is mentioned twice in the laws, and this is the first. It refers to the fact that your mind cannot grasp an even passage of time. Some seconds can go on for a considerable time, and in deep sleep, hours can pass in a second. Time is not a real thing, but then nothing is. All of reality is collectively generated by all beings and the living mass of nature. Is what I chose to be the third law, and is probably the weakest of them all. Actually, it is the only one that can be argued against intelligently, and I really don't know what to do about it. From a solipsistic point of view, I really don't know if I am just writing this for my own benefit, and you are merely a product of my imagination, but I prefer a benevolent view of this and include even the creatures of the earth and all of the trees and animals, not to leave anything out. The law stands and does pass the test of irrefutability, however it is written, and as it turns out, has a tremendous historical backing, but more than that, but more on that later. Abandoning God and religion was difficult for me, as I was raised in the Church United, and believed for the best part of my life that there really was a God. But at some point, trying to put myself in his shoes and trying to see through his eyes led to the inevitable result that we are in fact that entity and really don't understand death or reality. Now that it has become apparent that there is no reality or a firmament other than that of the imagined, we will now begin to understand more fully these other things. Reality is a globe we are within, not upon. Well, okay, first there was the Flat Earth Society, or whatever it was called in the old days, but it still exists in some small quarters and pubs, and still gets a laugh now and then. Then some brilliant scientists discovered that the world was a globe, and we were in space amongst millions of other globes, some hot stars, and some just planets. Today, there are those that post from their website that there is no proof that the globe of Earth rotates, and it's true. The scientific statement that our globe spins on its axis cannot be proven. But the fourth law of reality goes even further than that. It states that you are part of a globe and looking inward towards the center of it. There is no outside the globe, and no space, no universe, and nothing other than the impression of the globe that you are plastered to the wall of. Now, the easiest argument against that is the scenario that few have experienced of traveling in a shuttle to orbit around the Earth and seeing the Earth as a globe and watching it spin, or at least seeing night and day flash before their eyes every 2 hours or so as they circumnavigate this Earth. We have all seen this dozens of times on TV and know the feeling. Well, the astronaut is still plastered to the orb of reality and still has the capacity to see the Earth as a disk, but not a globe, and only gets the feeling that it is a globe by his apparent rotation. It matters not what you see or where you are. There is still a surrounding panorama, and you are still stuck to one side of this panorama, and the globe that you think you live on is an illusion. Within this orb, you have a tactile range, that's as far as you can reach, and then a practical tactile range, as far as you can go, and then a visual range, as far as you can see. On Earth, You have an up and down, a horizon, which is eye level, a left and a right, and only a single point of concentration, with the rest being peripheral. Beneath your feet is the plane of reference, and there is nothing below that. No earth, no globe, no China, no nothing. Not even nothing. Almost no one can accept this, and will laugh at its suggestion and mumble, flat earth society. Everything and every creature has the innate ability to react with the universal, became the fifth law, and refers to the simple fact that all living things and all objects innately know how to be what they are. A cat can be raised on a bottle with no other cat influence, but will know how to bury its waste when the time comes and will act cat-like in a multitude of other ways, and the DNE theorists are dumbfounded to explain where this mental information is located. A tree is one unbroken series of errors, but still looks like a tree, acts like a tree, and interacts with the universal world as a tree. A rock innately understands what it is to be a rock, acts like one, and is able to convince you that it is in fact a rock. If you study the rock very carefully, you will see that it changes over time. If you ignore it, it will remain the same within the constraints of your creative volition. Time is a concept and can have no beginning nor end. Well, this could be a guess on my part, but there was no evidence that anything ever began or will end, so that's where this came from. I'm guessing that the theory of time is wrong, and the other thing is the fact. This is how figmentalism works. One chucks away all the theories, no matter how common, and what is left is fact. Since we don't know what the conditions required for existence at this level are, we cannot assume that they have ever changed. The assumption for a beginning of time is unfounded, or at least not founded on knowledge. Our particular end, either as individuals or as a society or world, has never been known, so again, it cannot be assumed that we will end just because we see our numbers die off. As an individual, we may experience death, and it may be just the forgetting of the present existence and all that we know. In an instant, we may begin again as a baby in a new world, and this may continue forever. As usual, opting for the thing that is not theoretical, namely a beginning and an end, is where this law came from. The second tablet contains six more laws, beginning with: the universe is composed of solid, liquid, and gaseous objects that have no intrinsic constituent of matter. This is the longest and wordiest of the first 12 laws, and could be replaced with nothing really exists, or there is no matter. But as with the other laws, it had to sound like a statement that you couldn't really argue with, and also sound law-like. So there it is. It is directed at the scientists that are still searching for the elusive proof that matter really exists, and kind of puts them all out of business in one fell swoop. Actually, these laws tell all the theologians, all the teachers and institutions, all the scientists, and virtually everyone, save a few Eastern religions, that they are dead wrong and should create quite a stir as such. Matter, as mentioned before, cannot be created from nothing, has never been created, and the closest we could come to this is to imagine it to be real. Try to tell yourself that the next time you bang your finger with a hammer. As mentioned previously, the eighth law was existence must have a balance with non-existence, and this is referred to as the fundamental paradox law, because it is very basic, but paradoxically, there can be no such condition as non-existence. This is explored further with what is called non-real entitic science, and the third continuation of the laws beyond the basic 12. Everything and every creature must exist and not exist simultaneously. This might be considered a bit redundant, but is fresh in the fact that it reminds us that we are not here We are here, yet not here, and both conditions co-occur, even though it might seem quite impossible. It's really the only way that existence can happen. The vastness of the universe is only apparent to those that can sense it. It is there for us to travel to, as in the case of our nearer planets, yet isn't there the second in a blink. The same is for us. We are here and not here all in the same instant. That is the ninth law. Any event or combination of events must be possible without the need of matter of any kind. More redundancy on the part of the existence of matter, but refers particularly to events. A supernova or black hole may seem like an event that would have some matter or antimatter associated with it, and is indeed so far away and unapproachable that we could never know if it contains matter or not. Also, a conversation or a birth or something else that is quite earthy is an event that is quite like a black hole in that it requires no matter for its existence. Obviously, I want to drive this issue home so that there is no mistaking this point. The matter of any kind refers to mass, matter, material, antimatter, dark matter, and any form of energy, save thought. The atom was an invention long before the molecule, and although tunneling electron microscopes have seen things that look somewhat like those two things, there is still no proof that they exist. And even if we did see such things, it is because we have the capacity to imagine anything we care to and begin to believe in. That is the tenth law. The mind appreciates the earth and is the earth. This is the 11th law. And the last two are very poetic and beautiful. Appreciates could be said as creates, and the earth refers to our material world, and more specifically, to Mother Earth. We are part of, and indeed are, the things that we sense and see. Our thoughts are actually the things themselves, and not something tumbling around in a brain. The cosmos are created of apparency. This ends the 12 laws of the tablets, and oddly uses the word apparency for the first time, since it cannot be found in most dictionaries. Actually, there is an update to that, and I have found it at least once, but my spell checker still can't get it. The cosmos naturally refers to everything, and you will notice that as these laws move along, they seem to get more and more redundant. But nevertheless, they will remain as the 12 laws of reality. So if you got through all that without deciding this is a lot of foolishness, I will admit that it could have been all summed up with a statement like, all is comprised in a single entity and is an illusion as is memory. But these are intended to be more gentle and taught in place of the present fallacies of evolution or creation. An important note is that these laws may change as they are discussed by our population, or may be abandoned and just kept as a historical point of interest denoting world enlightenment. They did not come from above and do not require belief or adherence, but are just one person's way of saying, hey, world scientists, theologues, and teachers, wake up and smell the coffee. Namron Sor.